And this is WHTC in Holland, time now for Talk the Town, the program in which you, the listeners, participate with your telephone calls. Our Talk of the Town number is 395-1450. Our guests this morning, Terry and Kathy here with a whole bunch of recipes.
There are a lot this morning. Terry went overboard here, which is great. So
small ones, though, so we can hopefully squeeze them all in.
There you go. So okay. we're gonna start with some thinking a little more beach-like, huh? So
yeah.
Mini crab cakes.
Yeah. This recipe is for 8 servings, or about 16 mini cakes. They're great just by themselves with some lemon juice spritzed on them, or you can put some tartar sauce alongside of them, etc. We're going to start out with fresh lump crab meat, an 8-ounce can, and you want to drain that. A whole grain white bread, sliced, about 3 slices. A 1/3 cup of light mayonnaise, 3 green onions, thin sliced, a teaspoon of Old Bay seasoning. Now, Juke asked me this morning already, what's Old Bay seasoning? It's a specialty seasoning. It's kind of like a seasoning salt. It's usually used with seafood dishes. I know it's got some paprika in it and some salt. Not exactly sure what other seasonings are in there off the top of my head, but it looks like a seasoned salt, but it's called Old Bay.
And we can find this in the local grocery store
any spice.
Okay, yep. Great.
Should be very common. 1 teaspoon of Worcestershire sauce, 2 large eggs, lightly beaten, and then some olive oil or canola oil cooking spray as needed, and salt to taste. Have to put that in there, even though we want to try to omit it as much as possible. We're going to start out by gathering the ingredients, preheating our oven to about 200 degrees, only if you want to hold these for about 30 minutes. You can hold these up to 30 minutes before service, but if you don't, if you're going to serve them right away, then you don't need the oven at all. We're going to start by picking the 8 ounces of crab meat, and you want to make sure you remove any bits of shell or anything that's left in the can. Sometimes they just don't get it all out of there, so just kind of go through and look for any of those pieces and get rid of those. You're going to pulse 3 slices of bread in your food processor or your blender until it's finely crumbled, and it should yield about 1.5 cups of crumbs.
So if you're not going to make your own kind of crumbs, can you purchase like a crumb coating?
You could.
Coating,
yeah,
if you wanted to do that? Okay.
Crumb coating.
Okay.
I don't know how much of them come in whole grain, but
sure.
It doesn't really matter. It can be used just white bread crumbs too. So, in a medium bowl, you're going to stir together 1/3 cup of the mayonnaise, the sliced green onions, 1 teaspoon of the Old Bay seasoning, 1 teaspoon of the Worcestershire sauce, and 2 of the beaten eggs. And then you're going to gently stir in the crab meat and the breadcrumbs. And you can shape the mixture into about 16 little 2-inch patties or cakes. About 2 tablespoons each would be about the size of them. So. And then you can cook the cakes in batches on a hot, large griddle or nonstick skillet, coated with cooking spray, and over medium heat for about 4 minutes per side, or until golden brown. And then you just season them with salt and lemon juice to taste. And again, they can be kept warm in a 200-degree oven for up to 30 minutes, if you'd like.
Which is really nice if you're having guests over and you're trying to get everything prepared ahead of time. Would you serve these as an entree, or would this be more of an appetizer type of thing?
They could be done a little larger and done as an entree, but these are meant for more of an appetizer type of style.
Great.
Got to give your telephone number in here.
Yeah. If you missed anything on these recipes and you would like either for me to help fill you in on that or to mail you the recipes, you can call me at the Freedom Village at 820-7400, 820-7400. You'll get the front desk and then just ask for Kathy Blackburn and they'll put you through to my cell phone.
Okay.
All right.
I've got some different options here for some appetizer things today. These are pistachio-coated chocolate dipped apples. This would be a nice presentation to set alongside the mini crab cakes. You could do a little table display with some different appetizers and have a whole party based on appetizers. So, And it's a great snack anyways. This is only for one serving, but you could definitely make more because three apple wedges won't... I mean, you have to cut up a whole apple to get three.
Right. Three is not going to quite be what you need here. So
this recipe does call for three apple wedges and then one square of dark Hershey's chocolate and then one teaspoon of crushed salted pistachios. You're going to gather the ingredients... Melt your one square of chocolate. Dip three apple wedges into the melted chocolate. Sprinkle the wedges with one teaspoon of pistachio nuts. And enjoy. They look great. You can just kind of drizzle the chocolate over it, or you could dip it right in there, however you'd like. So
how many wedges? I'm trying to think of how many wedges I get in an apple typically. So probably what?
Six to eight, depending on...
Six to eight. So triple this for like one full apple or more if you were going to do several of them. So
yeah, the serving size of three apples is kind of small for most people.
Right. So. I think I would eat more than three wedges of this.
Especially
one. It sounds
chocolate.
Really, really good. Right.
And let's take a moment off here.
I love to go for walks and hear the leaves in the trees and the birds. It's made a great change in my life.
Van Dorn Hearing Care. Call 796-9387.
And we're here this morning with Kathy and Terry, and we're cooking big here this morning. So
lots of fun recipes today.
What's the next thing up?
Well, now we're switching to thinking spring. Today is the perfect day to start thinking spring. It seems like it might actually show up here sometime soon.
We're talking 50 degrees today.
Yeah, I know. That's
we'll take it.
Shorts weather.
So. Right.
This is chicken with sugar snap peas, artichoke hearts, and spring herbs. And it's for four servings. We're going to start with 1 cup of reduced sodium chicken broth, 1 teaspoon of Dijon mustard, 1/2 teaspoon optional of salt, fresh ground black pepper to taste, a flour, you need it divided. We need 2 teaspoons set aside and 1 tablespoon set aside. Olive oil.
I think we have some chicken breast cutlets in there first.
Yeah,
1 pound.
1 pound. I thought olive oil 1 pound didn't make sense.
Yeah, no.
So we'll go back to thin slice chicken breast cutlets. 1 pound. Olive oil, 1 tablespoon. There we go. Now we're back on track. 8 ounces of sugar snap peas cut in half, or about 2 cups approximately. A 14-ounce can of quartered artichoke hearts, and you want to rinse those and drain them. And then 1/4 cup of sprouted beans, and those are optional. Sprouted beans are not to be confused with bean sprouts. They're beans that have just been barely sprouted. They look like a bean with a tiny fiber attached. Great eaten raw on salads or added to cooked dishes. It's an excellent source of fiber and protein. And can be found in the produce section near other sprouts.
So sprouted beans.
Sprouted beans.
Okay.
Yep. And then we need 3 tablespoons of fresh herbs, such as chives, tarragon, dill. You could probably even put some basil or oregano in there if you wanted. And that will be minced, 3 tablespoons. And then 2 teaspoons of champagne vinegar or white wine vinegar. So for this recipe, we're going to again gather the ingredients. We're going to whisk together 1 cup of the chicken broth, 1 teaspoon of the mustard, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, if you choose to do that, and the black pepper as needed, and then 2 teaspoons of flour in a small bowl. And you want to whisk that up until smooth and set that aside. You're going to sprinkle both sides of the chicken with the remaining 1 tablespoon of flour. You're going to heat 1 tablespoon of olive oil in a large skillet over medium-high heat. And cook the chicken in 2 batches, adjusting heats as necessary to avoid burning. It should take about 2 minutes per side or until golden brown. And then transfer the chicken to a plate, and you can tent it with foil to keep it warm if you'd like.
And we're talking about thin sliced chicken. So if you're taking a full chicken breast, it's going to take a lot longer than 2 minutes. So make sure that you either have taken that chicken breast and pounded that down so that you get a nice thin, about how thick, Terry, would you say?
Probably about a quarter of an inch, to half inch max.
Okay. So about quarter to a half inch in thickness is what you would want to do so you can make it cook.
They do sell chicken breast cutlets now, quite thin sliced. They do have, you can buy the whole breast or you can actually buy the thin sliced. So
ask at the local grocery stores for that.
Yeah. Let's see. Stir the broth mixture and add to the pan along with 8 ounces of snap peas, the 14-ounce can of rinsed artichoke hearts, and the sprouted beans if you're using them. You're going to bring that mixture to a simmer, stirring constantly, and then reduce the heat to maintain a gentle simmer and cook until the snap peas are tender crisp for about 3 to 5 minutes. Then you're going to return the chicken to the pan, nestling it onto the vegetables, and simmer that until heated through, about 1 to 2 minutes. And then remove from heat, stir in 3 tablespoons of herbs, and the 2 teaspoons of vinegar. And that finishes it off nicely.
So what kind of starch would you serve this with?
You could serve it with pasta. You could also serve it with rice. Any starch. I mean, it really depends on what you're interested in.
What you like.
If you really want like potatoes, then do potatoes. Nobody's going to judge you.
Yeah, sounds good. And you can play with some of those vegetables, too, depending on what you like and what
definitely.
You don't like and go from there. So
some nice red pepper strips would be nice in there, too, for some color. But. All right, our next recipe is Italian spinach pie, and that calls for 8 servings. We're going to start out with 16 ounces of low-fat cottage cheese. About 2% milk fat is the best. A 10-ounce package of frozen chopped spinach. You want to thaw it and then squeeze the water out of it. 1 cup of low-moisture, part-skim mozzarella cheese, shredded. 4 eggs, beaten. A 7-ounce jar of roasted red peppers, well-drained and chopped. Or you could substitute a 1/2 cup of chopped red bell pepper.
So the roasted red peppers come in a jar?
Yes.
Okay.
Come in a jar. And 1/3 cup of grated Parmesan cheese. 1 teaspoon of dried oregano leaves. Now you're going to gather your ingredients. Preheat your oven to 350 degrees. And in a large mixing bowl, you're going to mix 16 ounces of cottage cheese, of the 10-ounce package of spinach after the water is removed, and 1 cup of mozzarella cheese, the 4 beaten eggs, the 7 ounces of roasted red peppers, or the 1/2 cup of chopped red bell, 1/3 cup of Parmesan cheese, and 1 teaspoon of oregano until blended. You're going to pour this mix into a 9-inch pie plate or baking dish that's been sprayed with canola oil or olive oil cooking spray. And you're going to bake it for 40 minutes at 350 degrees or until the center is set, and then serve it nice and hot.
So if you're not a meat lover, but you like to get the calcium and the protein that you're going to get out of the cheese, this is a really nice option for you. And it looks pretty simple to make.
It's a good breakfast dish as well as a dinner dish. It can be added alongside with your chicken if you want to have something different going with your as a side instead of the typical potato starch.
If you wanted to add a meat into this, like a chicken that was chopped up, is that something you could do, or would that throw off the whole balance of it?
It would not. It actually would be good. You could do a turkey meat. You could do a sausage, either an Italian sausage or even just a regular sausage. Like a breakfast sausage would be nice in there, too. So,
because if you're going to bake for 40 minutes at 350, it should cook through.
Yeah,
if
you'll
you're
probably
not
want to brown
smaller.
The meat up a little bit first.
Okay.
Especially the turkey and stuff, just to make sure you get it cooked. So.
Yeah. This is one of my favorite things ever.
Good comfort food.
Yes.
Loaded twice-baked potatoes. And this is for 4 servings. You need 4 medium russet potatoes, 8 ounces of 90% lean ground beef or ground turkey, 1 cup of broccoli florets, finely chopped, and you could use those, either the frozen ones or the fresh. Fresh is obviously going to give a little bit better quality as far as vitamins and stuff like that. So, 1 cup of water. Did I say 1 cup of broccoli?
Did say broccoli, yes. Okay. So,
and 1 cup of reduced fat cheddar cheese, shredded and divided. 1/2 cup of reduced fat sour cream. 1/2 teaspoon of sea salt, optional. 1/4 teaspoon of fresh ground black pepper. And 3 scallions sliced, otherwise known as green onions. Gather ingredients. Preheat your oven to 350 degrees. You're going to start by washing and piercing the potatoes all over with a fork. And then you're going to place your potatoes on a baking tray in a 350-degree oven for about an hour until done when pierced. Remove from oven and set aside. The recipe that I did find for this originally called for microwaving the potatoes. I had to change that because it does work. You can microwave potatoes, but I don't recommend that. So I try to stay away from using the microwave.
So for those of you who avoid the oven, you can do it in the microwave.
Yes. While the potatoes are baking, you can brown up your meat in a large skillet over medium heat, stirring often to avoid burning for about 3 minutes. Transfer that to a large mixing bowl. Now, if you do have the ground beef, there might be a little bit of drainage, but I know ground turkey usually it's what cooks off just completely dissipates, so there's nothing left except the meat. So, increase your skillet temperature to high and add your broccoli and water to the pan. And you want to cover that, cook it until tender for about 4 to 5 minutes. And you want to drain the water off the broccoli and add this to the meat. So once the broccoli is cooked, then you're going to add that in with the meats. Carefully cut off the top third of the potatoes and reserve the tops for another use, i.e. fried potatoes or something else you might want to make later on. Scoop out the insides of the potatoes into a medium bowl and place the potato shells in a small spray-coated baking dish. You're going to add 1/2 a cup of cheddar cheese, 1/2 a cup of sour cream, 1/2 a teaspoon of salt, and 1/4 teaspoon of black pepper to the potatoes inside, or the insides of the potatoes, and mash that with a fork or potato masher. Then you're going to add scallions, the 3 scallions and the potato mix, to the meat and the broccoli, and you want to just stir it till combined. Then you can evenly divide the potato mixture among the potato shells and top the rim with the remaining 1/2 cup of cheddar cheese. You're going to bake those in a 350-degree oven until hot and cheese is melted for about 20 minutes. You could use the microwave, but I don't want to say that.
So if you are going to do this, I know usually when I make baked potatoes, we put them in tin foil and then put them in the oven.
Yep,
Whatever normal baking method you use for potatoes to begin with can work on this. And it is loaded baked potatoes, but most of our ingredients were saying reduced fat, so that hopefully it takes out some of those nasty calories that could be there.
Yep, and you could also make these a day ahead. You could cover and refrigerate them and then heat them up as needed. Obviously, it's going to take a little longer than 20 minutes to heat through if they're cold. And again, it says on here you could use the microwave.
Okay, shall we take a look at our weather? And the weather is brought to you by the Wooden Shoe Restaurant, now featuring the Eggs Oscar Benedict. That sounds good, too. All right.
It does.
The weather outlook is for partly cloudy today with a high of 41, and tonight cloudy with a low of 33, and tomorrow a mix of rain and snow showers with a high of 39, and Wednesday snow showers in the morning, a high of 23. Now, I heard a prediction today of 50 degrees for a high, so I don't know. It's going to be anywhere, and at least we're going to enjoy it because the snow will be melting.
My thermometer on my deck read 60-something the other day in the sun. So if you're in the sun, you're going to get definitely up there a little bit warmer.
Right,
but
Okay.
Yeah, we're ready for that better weather.
Next recipe.
This one is a nice one for kids' groups. It works great for grandkids if you're just hanging out with them and you want to do something with them. It's deconstructed s'mores.
And I have to say that Terry and our team at Freedom Village made these for an event that we had last week, and they were great.
Yeah. Nice way to kind of get the s'mores at this time of year without having to actually bring out the grill or a campfire in the middle of the snow pile. So, you need two. This is, again, for one serving. So you can definitely add on as many as you need. Two large marshmallows, 1 tablespoon of semi-sweet chocolate chips, melted, and 2 teaspoons of cinnamon graham cracker crumbs. You're going to gather your ingredients. You're going to melt your tablespoon of chocolate. Just a tip on melting chocolate real quick. If you put it in the microwave, I know I don't say to use the microwave, but this is one that you would if you're only doing a tablespoon of chocolate chips. You want to basically do it about 10 seconds at a time, and once it starts to melt, it will continue to stay warm enough to melt it. You just want to stir it. You don't want to keep cooking, because I know chocolate seizes up really bad in the microwave.
Yeah, it'll turn totally hard if you do it too much. So
once it's starting to melt, it will remain at temperature enough that it will keep it get the rest of it melted. You just have to stir it. You have to be patient and stir it. So, and let's see. So we're going to dip 2 marshmallows into the melted chocolate, and you can roll the marshmallows then in 2 teaspoons of crushed graham cracker crumbs. And enjoy them like that, or display them. You can also put them on a skewer if you want a little more flair. You could also toast the marshmallows under a broiler before dipping if you really want that burnt marshmallow taste. Just be really careful that you don't overdo them. Or
so if you like s'mores, this is a great way to get
great
the
snack.
Flavor of it and to just really enjoy.
Yep, a good snack to have around.
Pretend it's summer out.
Exactly. All right, one more. Chicken breasts milanaise. And this is for 6 servings. It's 6 boneless, skinless chicken breasts. Sea salt to taste, fresh ground black pepper to taste, 1.5 cups of flour, 1 teaspoon of garlic powder, 1 teaspoon of onion powder, 2 eggs well beaten, a quarter cup of fresh parsley minced, 2 garlic cloves minced, 1 cup of Italian breadcrumbs. That would be a good time to have your breadcrumbs from your crab cakes. 2 tablespoons of olive oil. And 2 tablespoons of butter. And then lemon quarters for garnish as needed. You could also do lemon slices if you want that nicer flat presentation. So we're going to gather our ingredients. Preheat the oven to 250 degrees. We're going to place the chicken breasts between sheets of plastic wrap, wax paper, or inside of a Ziploc bag and pound them to flatten until quite thin, but not full of holes. Sometimes when you pound, you can very easily punch holes through the chicken. So this is another one that you may want to just buy the thin cut cutlets at the store just so you don't have to pound them so much. Remove the chicken and discard the plastic wrap, the wax paper, or the bag, whichever you're using. Sprinkle the chicken breasts with salt and pepper as desired. In a shallow pan or dish, you're going to combine 2 beaten eggs, 1/4 cup of parsley, and 2 minced garlic cloves. And you're going to set that aside. In another Ziploc bag, you're going to combine 1.5 cups of flour, 1 teaspoon of garlic powder, 1 teaspoon of onion powder. You're going to place the individual chicken breasts in that bag and shake it until lightly coated. This is a nice way to keep your kitchen a little bit cleaner. Discard the excess flour and mix in the bag after all the breasts are coated. you definitely don't want to keep that around and use it again because it will be full of
bacteria. Yeah, not good.
Then you're going to heat 2 tablespoons of olive oil and the 2 tablespoons of butter in a heavy skillet, but do not allow it to brown.
So just heat it up like to medium heat, sort of? Okay. Yeah.
And then you're going to dredge the chicken pieces in the egg mix and then roll them in the breadcrumbs to coat. You may need to press the breadcrumbs into the chicken. And then you're going to sauté this chicken for 3 to 4 pieces at a time over medium heat until golden and crisp. They should be tender inside, but not dry. And it's approximately 5 to 7 minutes on each side, depending on the size of the chicken. Then you're going to place the chicken on paper towel lined plate and drain off the excess oil. And you can keep it warm in a 250-degree oven until remaining pieces are cooked. You can serve that hot with lemon quarters or lemon wedges, etc. So.
And again, whatever type of starch you like and whatever kind of vegetable you like to add to this, it's sounds like a great entree option for people to have their to have their main meat. So if you missed any of the information in any of these recipes today, you can call me at 820-7400. Again, you'll get the front desk at Freedom Village. Just ask for Kathy Blackburn, and they'll put you through to my cell phone. Leave your name and your address if you'd like me to mail them to you. If you want all of them, just leave your name and your address. And if you would like just specific ones, you can let me know that as well, and I'll be happy to put them in the mail to you probably a little bit later on this week.
We timed it out pretty well.
We did. Yeah, right till the end here.
Yeah, all the recipes we got in.
We did. Lots of fun stuff, appetizers, entrees, some nice options for this time of year. So
yeah,
good stuff to try, and if you feel adventurous, pick up one of these little recipes and try them out to switch things up.
Yeah. Well, we've got just about out of time here, and we want to thank you for being here this morning talking to us.
Thank you.